Ahem.
Where's your blazer, man?
Fine. You know what? Fine. It's enough of this shit.
Man, it's a good thing we have those.
Nice. It looks like...
I'll have to take this from you.
You look like you're from Miami Vice.
Oh, son of a bitch, man.
That's coming back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They did that... What's that indie game? Hotline Miami?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we should tell him when he comes back. It's actually apparently that's in and whatever he's wearing is out.
Everyone's always got a hate on that jacket.
It's a good thing we have all those extra suits that perfectly fit you in the back of our office.
Oh, now my closet's open. Motherfucker.
Really?
Maybe there's a monster in there. Doesn't want to come out. I'm very warm lighting in here. It's like everything's...
All right, Chunks, let's do this.
So I should mention, it's been recorded the whole time.
You're an ass.
The only thing is, it went on a little long. But okay, so start whenever you want.
Oh, you can't do that. Now I'm going to laugh. All right, you guys ready?
Go.
Hey, and welcome to The Unwind, where we talk all games, tech, and video games. This is episode 6. We will be talking about WWDC and a preview of E3. And I am always your favorite Windows fanboy, Rob Steller.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
And I'm Sean Thomas. So, as Rob mentioned, next week is WWDC, Apple's annual developers conference. It also kind of serves as a way for them to introduce not always new products, but updates to things. So there are a lot of big things. They're planning on showing a lot of major things, one of which that they've been hinting at pretty strongly is that there's going to be a new revision to iOS, iOS 7. So I don't know if you have any... thoughts on it, Josiah?
Yeah, I guess that's me, right? Rob's a Microsoft fanboy. I'm the Apple fanboy. I've got a short list of 5 things that I'd like to see. I don't have any insider track, and I try to avoid rumors as much as possible, just because it starts to get silly after a while. But so things that I'd like to see, and Tim Cook did kind of say that this was going to focus mostly on software. So they're going to talk about iOS 7 is definitely going to be released or announced there and detailed there, and probably OS X 10.9.
They're going back.
and there's some evidence that they probably will do some hardware conversations around probably the MacBook Air and maybe the MacBook Pro, because those inventories of those are dropping in stores, and they're not getting replenished. So, but I think the Apple strategy lately is kind of not making a big fuss, or they don't consider it a big fuss when they update or relaunch their computer hardware. They're just focusing on big announcements for mobile and innovative products. So, anyhow, what I would like to see, number one, and I'm sure Rob's going to get a kick out of this, is split screen multitasking. Right, ta-da. That's something you can do in RT and Windows 8. Obviously, I don't. Rob, can you do it on Windows mobile phone?
Not the phone, no.
Okay, so I'd like to see that in OS 7. You know, obviously, it wouldn't work that well on the iPhone 5 because the screen, even though they enlarged the screen, it's still fairly small. But you could probably do it in portrait mode. You know, 2 squares side by side or 2 4x3 pictures side by side. But it would make a lot of sense on the iPad with Retina screen.
Yeah, I don't know why people...
They've got a lot of real estate there.
Yeah, I don't know why people don't make a bigger deal about that. I hate the fact that anytime I use a tablet, you are always in one app, which I'm almost never in when I'm using my computer. Like, I think the split screen thing is a big deal. I'm not as big of a fan of it on phones. I mean, I just, for the smaller phone.
Yeah, I think there is an Android phone, I think, that's going to do that, right?
Some of the Samsungs do that already.
Yeah. But they're very hacked in, and they're not that great. Like, with the Galaxy S3, I think you could actually do a video overlay on your screen, and you could kind of drag it around. But it's not like the snapping feature on Windows 8, where it's built in and it changes the functionality. Like, when you're using IMs, it's not like it just scrunches it in half. It kind of changes it. It's almost like the websites that adapt to your screen size. Like, it changes it. And I mean, I think it makes so much sense. I don't know.
Yeah, and the biggest things about that is, like, when I'm copying and pasting or trying to... sometimes you can't always copy and paste text because of, you know, it might be put in as a picture or something like that. And it doesn't always work in text messages. Like, a good example is, I think it's with AT&T, you can forward text messages that are spam to an AT&T number.
Huh.
And then it says, so you forward the message to this number, which I have saved in my phone contacts, but then it always says, thanks for sending this message, we'll mark it as spam, please send the phone number that sent you this text message. And it won't let me copy and paste the phone number, so I got to commit it to memory and then type it in. So, you know, just minor little things like that, even if they just kept it to a handful of apps, it'd be a huge huge improvement. So that's number one on my list. Number two, and they probably won't go with this, and this is more so... It's not so much, I mean, I definitely can figure out a way to use it and implement it in my use of iOS devices, but it's mainly for education, and that's multiple accounts on devices. I think that would be really big. Rob and I do this education technology podcast, and we were talking about Google Chromebooks because potentially surpassing iPads and Android tablets in the classroom because it handles multiple users so well, among other reasons. But I really think the multiple accounts thing would be big because, you know, I've got an iPad that I use for work, and, you know, it's my iPad, so I've got some games on there and stuff like that. But I don't want that stuff on my screen when I'm doing a presentation from my iPad or something like that. So, you know, I kind of have to trick it to make multiple screens and swipe all the way to the right when I and have that folder for my games and stuff like that, and for, you know, even like Netflix and Amazon Video, you know, I don't want that on my home screen when I'm doing a presentation, so I have to, like, make all these blank screens and then put that folder on the very end.
You know,
so that would be cool if they had multiple accounts.
It's not definitely not the same thing as that, but I remember, and I thought it was a cool idea, but I don't know how many people used it when Windows Phone had the idea that you could turn it in kids mode because your kids use it and you don't want them to go out of it.
If you had like a business mode and a home mode versus or something like that.
Which is
did any BlackBerry phones have anything like that?
No, I don't think so. But I would never hand my phone to somebody. I don't think I'd even hand it to my kid if I had a kid. But, you know, definitely the iPad is a different, a tablet is a different type of device, and you commonly hand that over, and you do a lot of different, you know, you could present from an iPad. Technically you could present from your phone, but I'd never do it. So, it's the same thing as like having Outlook open on your laptop and doing a presentation and seeing these pop-up notifications come up, right? So whenever I do a presentation, I have to shut down Outlook. Otherwise, people are going to see the mail preview. So I'd like some option like that on my iPad.
Yeah. Reply. Everybody hates the boss. it's funny when you... It's funny how things have changed, because with the multiple accounts, I remember being a kid and having a family computer and multiple accounts were important. Like, you know, I'd have
Right.
mine, my brother, sister, whatever. But now everybody has their own device, so it's almost an
Right.
afterthought. And I mean, I use multiple accounts because I have multiple accounts. Like, I have multiple Gmail accounts. Like, one's kind of my BS account, and
Right.
I have my laptop, and everybody else I know has their own. So it's funny how it's changed. But
Yeah, but I mean, like we just mapped out, even if it is your own personal device, there's reasons to have multiple accounts,
and
one
it
for
doesn't
home,
hurt.
one for business, that sort of thing. Yeah. So that's something I'd like to see. Another thing, and they kind of have this, but I don't think it's a public API, and that's dynamic icons, right? So
Oh,
the
okay.
example of this is
I wonder if there's anyone who does that.
it's a nod to Windows Phone and Live Tiles. I don't think I'd want exactly.
So are you telling me that Apple is just taking everything from Windows now?
No, I know what he means, though. There's a difference.
Oh,
yeah.
But a quick example is the calendar app, the native iOS calendar app, which I kind of hate. But the nice thing about it is the icon will change according to the date. It just shows you what day it is. It's the 3rd of May. It's the, you know, 4th of May, whatever.
Yeah.
And I wish they would allow that capacity to be used for other apps, because I think that's the only app that does it, and it's obviously an Apple.
Hey, man, it's 76 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, that's all I want. I want to see that from a weather app, and I want to see that from my calendar apps. I don't like the idea of the live tiles that show you pictures or contact pictures, because, you know, it's one, as a matter of privacy, and two, I don't control what contact pictures my contacts use. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
that's true.
So that I don't like that much. And so if they do enable it, maybe have the feature to turn it on or off for that particular app. But I would like to see some customization like that. So a slight nod to Windows Mobile. They are doing some really cool things, actually. Fourth thing, so this is software related, but it bleeds into hardware a little bit. With the Apple TV, I think it's they really just need to give it up and just say put OS 7 on there. I put a full version of iOS on there. Because, you know, it uses the same chips. And so in effect, it would become, it turn your TV into a giant iPad. And, mm-hmm. you know, they need to put the full operating system on there. Because right now, they curate the apps that go on there. You can't install additional apps or anything like that. And there's no web browser. So that's really all I want is an Apple TV that lets me get to the web. Because then I could get rid of my 8-year-old Mac Mini that's hooked up to my TV, and I wouldn't have to go drop, you know, $500 on a next-gen console. And the other thing is, if they did that, if they put a full version of iOS on these Apple TVs, it basically pull the rug out of, not that I'm trying to do this, I do support indie companies, but it'd make, a non-starter,
mm-hmm.
the Oh Yeah box, because you get all the Apple.
Isn't it?
Or
yeah.
What?
Ooh yeah.
Ooh yeah. Sorry. Ooh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm the old guy, right? Yeah. Yeah. On the Android, but yeah, you know, it would basically open up a whole new level of gaming in the you know, laid back kind of low-key, non-hardcore gamers, casual gamers.
So that's the, I mean, that's the one thing. Everybody feels like they're going to make a play in that field. And I feel like they're not going to do a real overhaul of the Apple TV until they decide what they're going to do. I don't know if, I mean, for years, people felt like that was going to be their next product, their next thing they're
going
into.
Well, I'm just talking about that tiny little black box. I'm not even saying, you know, I need a 4K HD panel from Apple called an Apple TV. I'm just talking about that tiny little box that Steve Jobs said was a hobby for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Steve. But, but you know, they just need to, it's got all the hardware in it. They just need to plop iOS on it and make it a real a real powerhouse in the living room space.
Yeah, and they still talk about it quite a bit because it sells well. I mean, $99, that's definitely a good deal. So I'm pretty sure on a lot of the earnings calls, they still talk about it. Like, not that it's, you know, destroying consoles, which are probably the main form of media consumption, but it's definitely significant.
And the pressure's on, too, because I'm pretty sure the latest version of the Roku box lets you play games on it. You know, it's still like Angry Birds and simple stuff, but the controller actually has a little gamepad on the back of it. Huh. It has the little plus gamepad thing on it.
Yeah, now so, I forgot what it's called, but there's another competitor to the Ouya. There's another Android-based
system.
So,
and that's a subscription model, I think, for their game.
Yeah, you're right.
You can do either or, can't you? It's like you could either pay $129 up front. But yeah, it's interesting. And then, I mean, the whole problem with the Ouya was that it wasn't very smooth. Granted, it's not official yet, but...
well, yeah, that's a beta. So I'm sure they'll get it together, but I just think, like, you know, all Apple has to do is flash the ROM on that thing. And they've got everything that the Ouya has. You just throw in an API to use your iPod Touch or your iPhone as a controller while they wait for a real controller to be developed, and boom, you're done.
And realistically, iOS definitely has better games. I mean, so you don't have to deal with, I mean, without a doubt. So
I mean, if they did that, it would even top out the Wii U. Right. I mean, obviously, it's as good. If they just added the App Store to Apple TV, it'd be as good as a Wii U. It'd be better than the Wii U.
Yeah. As a side note, it's funny when all the like privacy concerns about Xbox One were coming out and people were saying we don't know what PS4 is going to do. So I was on some websites commenting. I was like, the real question is, if both of them have these serious privacy concerns, are you going to buy a Wii U? And everybody's like, no. Nope. You're still just going to take one.
But doesn't make a difference, yeah. And then the last thing, and I've told Rob this a couple times, and this is, again, kind of a mix of hardware and software, but I would really, really like to see them make touchscreen laptops.
Yeah, that's the one big
MacBook
thing.
Air touchscreen, and you know, when I mentioned this to you, Rob, you're like, well, they'd have to change the operating system OS X 10 or 10.9 to include that. But they've actually done a lot of stuff to make OS X a lot like the iOS operating system, so. I think they're really close, and they have an opportunity to do it right now.
Yeah, so we had a big conversation about this the other day, just the possibility of having laptops that are touchscreen for Apple. Do you think you're going to see different form factors, like what the Yoga is doing, where it bends all the way back and turns into a tablet?
Yeah, I would like to see that. So, that would be the simplest way to do it. And you know, Apple's about simple design and mm-hmm. stuff like that, not this kind of gimmicky twist this, turn that. So, you know, if they did that, I'd be happy. That's all they need to do is make a 180 degree, flip it all the way back like the Yoga or that new XPS 11 from Dell. And because there are cases like that for the iPad.
Right.
I actually have one. So, you know, I have this keyboard case for my iPad, and I find that if I switch from typing on my iPad with that keyboard case to my MacBook or any laptop, even sometimes my desktop at work because the screen is closer to me, I end up reaching for the screen to like scroll up or down.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's ready. I think people are learning that. It's okay to touch the screen.
Wow, that sounds like a marketing campaign.
I'm actually thinking about buying a Windows laptop with a touchscreen because I think they've done a really nice job on that.
So, sorry, what I just wanted to say was that I'm a little more hesitant to say that they'll do that because They've definitely, you're totally right. I mean, they've adapted a lot of stuff from iOS. Like, I feel like, is it Mission Control? Where
yep,
it's like
exactly.
the icons. But,
yep.
I mean, they still realize so much of it is point and click. And I just feel like, for lack of a better phrase, like, Apple's too smart to have that awkward experience. I feel like they'll only do it if they think they've got it. And the same thing with doing unique form factors. I feel like they're too conservative for that unless they find out something that they really, like, are 100% sure on.
They do. They have this patent, and this was, you know, maybe 3 years ago. They have this patent for a stand for the iMac that lets you basically lay it flat. And I've seen a computer from, I think it's from Asus, that has a... has an all-in-one that basically lets you do the same thing that is touchscreen that just was announced recently.
Yeah.
But, you know, Apple had this patent for their iMacs like 3 years ago before anybody had a touchscreen that size. Mm. So I think they've probably been thinking about it. And I get what you're saying. You know, they don't want to do anything half-baked, Sean, but I think they've already kind of creeped into that because with the newer MacBooks, they changed the scrolling, so you can do a two-finger scroll on the touchpad.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
And so you can do that two-finger scroll on the touchpad to scroll up or down on in a like a browser, right? And so it used to be scroll down.
Yeah. Okay.
Or swipe down, and it would scroll down on the web page. But now they actually reversed it because that's how you use it on an iPad. And so on an iPad, you know, when I touch the screen, I drag up to scroll down.
Funny.
But the default on the touchpad is that same feature or the same gesture, so you drag up, but I always switch it around because when I'm on a touchpad, that's what I'm used to, is pulling down to scroll down. But when I'm on a touch screen, I drag up. And so, you know, they've already broken the logic as far as I'm concerned. So they need to fix it by adding touch screens is what I think.
I'm imagining, so the other way would be if you're on a screen and you pull down, it goes up. Like, I think it's a much weirder experience on a touch screen. Like, reversing it for a touchpad is weird, but only because I'm so used to it that way. But I feel like if it did it with a
touch screen?
I don't know why I'm... just seems really weird in my head.
Well, here's how crazy it is, right? That gesture of dragging up. So if I, you know, it's just like if I had a piece of paper and I wanted to drag it up, I pull it up. And that's why it works so well. And I've actually literally done that on paper where I'm reading something that's printed and I'm like, oh, wait, shit. This is not a digital device. So that gesture is perfect. It's so intuitive. But they force you to use that same gesture on a touchpad, but it doesn't make sense on a touchpad because the touchpad is symbolic of something. It's symbolic of a scroll wheel, which we've all been, you know, conditioned to scroll down with. But that touch gesture on the touch screen is actually, it's not symbolic. It's actually what you would really do if you were pulling up on a page so you can scroll down the page. So those are my five things that I hope they do. And as far as confidence in any of that happening, I have zero. I really don't think they're going to do any of that, which is too bad.
So I saw an announcement, Sean, I think it was on The Verge today, but I saw an announcement where Apple's going to let you trade in iPhones for credit towards buying a new one.
Yeah.
Which is something that they've never done before. So I'm curious if you think that's because they're maybe worried about the market share that Samsung has over them with the Android devices.
I don't...
I mean, or why else do you think they would do this other than that?
I think it's... I think they just want to keep customers, right? The iPhone, I think, has the highest retention rate, or Apple as a brand of smartphones has the highest retention rate, but obviously they only make the iPhone. And it's, you know, is it this year's model or last year's model or last year's model? So I think they're just trying to be proactive about retaining customers because so far they've been able to do it based on built up hype on the newest device and that the fact that people are locked into their ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And now I think the hype is dying down and I think they still have a pretty good lock on the ecosystem, but some people are, you know, the allure of new stuff is big enough that people are willing to drop a, you know, and I the other thing is I don't think they really think of it in these terms, but people are probably willing to drop another $50 to get all those productivity apps and must-have apps if they switch to a new device. And Android has a really mature app market now.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that because when I went to the AT&T store recently, I always make a point to ask what they have and what they use. And he had, I forget, an HTC Android phone. I forget which one it was, though.
The one?
Probably the one. It was probably the one. And he said he had just switched over from an iPhone, and I asked him why. He's like, well, I basically had an iPhone for the last three iterations of it, and it was just kind of the same to me, so I wanted to try something new.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a good segue into something I was thinking about, and I was surprised. So, I don't really know the trade-in thing, because I personally feel like really the reason why they would have given up any market share is because it doesn't feel like Apple's pulled an Apple in a while. It feels like it's... And so I'm actually surprised on your top five you didn't talk about changing iOS, because I feel like I'm really excited for WWDC. I haven't been excited in a while because I really want to see what iOS 7. I want to see...
Oh, you mean the look and feel of it?
Yeah. Well, so that's the thing. So definitely I want to see an update to the look and feel.
Yeah.
But I would probably more important than that is to see how they change iOS itself. I feel like there's still this... When you use iOS, it feels like, you know, you're just switching between apps. You know, you just click a shortcut, you're in an app. There's not enough, like, I don't know, they have to figure something out. I don't care if it's widgets, live tiles. I'm sure they'll do their own thing, but I really want to see if they'll change something. And I don't know, do you think this is just purely going to be an overhaul of their just look and feel, or do you think they're also, I mean, I'm sure they'll do under the hood things as well, but...
Yeah, they're probably going to make a big deal about Siri, and you know, definitely Siri needs improvement, and they're probably going to talk about improving their maps, and that needs improvement too. But you know, I didn't want to say improve this or improve that, and I didn't want to say a better weather app. Right? I didn't want to say anything that could be a third party solution already. Right? I want to talk about like stuff that's specific to the operating system and how that thing works. So I could have thrown in something about notifications in there, but I'm actually okay with the notifications. I think the settings menu is kind of a mess. You know, Apple likes to talk about how simple they are, but I think the setting menu has kind of gotten a little nutty. You know, it's like five taps for me to turn off, for me to change the brightness. That's something that I think, you know, should be pretty quick to access. And actually on the iPad, you can get to it very quickly. And on the iPhone, it takes, you know, three or four taps, which is bizarre to me. I don't understand why they've fragmented it.
Is Siri built into computers yet? Because I think Chromebooks are a lot of the Google, what's the OS? Yeah, well, they're building like Google now into the operating system, aren't they?
Yeah, so if you have the latest version of OS X, you can hit a hotkey to speak to it, and it'll take dictation in any program, but it's not actually Siri, so it's not the voice search and the that kind of contextual search, but they probably will add that. I think that'd be a safe bet, but you know, I use Siri, but mostly I use the dictation piece of it, it's a little broken. It's very slow compared to Google Now. Google Voice Search, which they have available in the
app. Now Google Now you can get on the iPhone as well, so that's Actually, just out of curiosity, for you when you're using your iPhone, what core apps do you use that are non-iPhone? Like for mail, do you use Mailbox, or I guess Sparrow's not there anymore, like, or do you use Mail? And for like core stuff?
I use Mailbox for all my Gmail accounts. And then, but work, so Mailbox doesn't take IMAP accounts, it's only Gmail.
Yeah.
So for work, I use the native, So there's a good chance, since they got bought by Dropbox and they're going to have a lot more money, I'm sure they're working on an IMAP solution, but right now I have to use the native mail app.
That's crazy.
And it's okay. It's the interface could use some switching around, but as far as the features go, it's good enough for me. But
well, I'm just curious because I've heard of a lot of people who because it's great that the iOS app ecosystem is really robust, but people aren't using a lot of the main, like, for, I know a lot of people who use Chrome,
yep.
Gmail or Mailbox, IM solutions, I don't know, maybe Facebook Messenger or something. I mean, I guess iMessage is pretty good, so there's no reason to switch, right? But like,
yeah,
a lot of the core ones, they're not using the Apple provider ones, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I have, I think pretty much everybody who has an iPhone has a folder of the iPhone apps that are pre-installed that they can't delete. And they just put it on the last page. I'm not joking. Anybody who knows how to make folders on iOS 6, I'm pretty sure they have a folder of, you know, I'll tell you what they are. It's the clock app, it's the weather app, it's the compass app, it's the voice memos, it's the calculator, it's stocks, it's that stuff. There's third-party solutions that are a million times better. So, I never open those apps. I can't remember the last time I opened up the voice memo app. Because, and the stock notes app, I know a lot of people use it. I'm shocked to see so many people using it when I do workshops and stuff for work, but I think it absolutely sucks.
Yeah, I'm sure there are better ones in the App Store.
Yeah, just get Evernote. Evernote's free. Simple Note, OneNote even. You know, it's crazy. And I don't mean that as a slight, Rob. I really like OneNote, but OneNote on iOS.
We talked about that on our other show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
OneNote, the craziest thing, I keep telling Rob this, I feel like OneNote deals with bullets and numbering really well. I'm like, why isn't this on Word? Why is it in Word anytime I add something new? It's like, oh, we're going to restart the numbering list anyway, even though it's right below. And I'm like, OneNote does it so well. OneNote is definitely one of those gems I never expected. And then I think Robbie told me about it.
Well, it's crazy because it's been there for a while.
Yeah.
It's been there since I was in college. And I'm the old guy, so.
it's just something I never looked at until I started using Windows 8, and then once I had that, well, the pen input was big.
Yeah,
with the Surface Pro, but.
Gotta have your scribbles.
Related to that, and there's, I guess it's not much to talk about, but I found this super interesting. At All Things D, they interviewed Tim Cook. If you don't know, All Things D is a conference put on by Walt Mossberg and, forgetting her name.
I think it's Diane somebody.
Well, okay. They are, big tech editors. So they put on All Things D and it's pretty well known. And Tim Cook spoke. And one thing he talked about was that he was at least open to the idea of Apple making software for Android. Who knows if they will? I mean, I don't even care about the practical idea of whether or not they'll do it. But I think the idea, I mean, Steve Jobs famously said he wanted to go thermonuclear on Android. He seriously hated Google, without a doubt. So the fact that Tim Cook even said something that thought about working, it shows how different he is. And I don't know if part of it is because the landscape is changing and Android's gaining more. I don't know, but I thought it was weird that the animosity wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a very bizarre statement to hear from Apple, but I think that's based on what we would have expected from Steve Jobs. So I'm all for it. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah. And seriously, it's about time because you guys have all the good Google apps. Although they did update Gmail, and it's a really good update. I still think the iOS one looks better, but it does a lot of the big things that really just make it a better app. But yeah, I thought that was weird. But I think. Yeah, when WWDC kicks off, I think we're going to see a lot of new announcements. And some people had speculated maybe an updated MacBook line with Haswell. Because the big thing with Haswell is a lot of people are touting its battery – or its –
power savings.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm always still hesitant about this stuff because I feel like every time something comes out – like when my phone came out, it had the new version of Snapdragon. I think it's Snapdragon 400. And they're like – it is, you know, 8 times more power saving than the last one.
Right.
And I feel like they always say how great it is. So I really want to see if it genuinely changes or if it ends up being just another update, like it's great.
I mean, for me, so I use the Surface Pro and, you know, 4 hours is a good, I'd be happy to get 4 hours usually if I'm using it heavily and doing work on it. On the battery now, but so even if it was an extra 2 hours with the Haswell chip and Surface Pro 2, I'd be pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be like, you know, an extra 8 hours or something ridiculous.
That's true.
Yeah. But I think where you get fooled is, you take some of these announcements with a grain of salt, but the thing is a lot of companies say, oh, well, we've got energy savings, well, let's make the screen brighter and bigger.
Yeah.
And let's other things. And let's actually shrink the battery because that's where a lot of the weight comes from.
That's
so
a good point.
So it's an engineering trade-off. So you don't always reap those benefits. Me personally, I'm like, keep the form factor, give me the battery savings, but that doesn't always happen. We don't get to make that call.
Yeah, a battery has become such a big deal, especially with smartphones. I mean, my phone doesn't last a full day, or at least, I mean, I use it more now because when I'm on the train, I have a 40 to 50 minute commute, so I'm reading, so the screen's on, and
yeah.
I mean, I have to have a second charger at work because it's just too annoying. But I don't know, I couldn't imagine, imagine if it lasted like dumb phones were, where you had a week, and then you're like, oh shit,
yeah.
I forgot to charge it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. But
yeah.
But yeah, I mean we're all pretty excited. We'll get to see what happens with that. A little more tech related. Microsoft came out with more specifics on the Xbox One. So and this is a lot in response to all the privacy issues. So they've said first specifically the Kinect will only listen for Xbox On, which is, I mean, they've been saying that from the beginning. But I think one thing that makes it different, I believe they said you can turn it off. You can kind of have that feature off.
Right, right.
I mean, I guess still if somebody can hack your Kinect, they could still see inside your house.
Right.
But we'll see. Because I don't think they mentioned whether or not you can turn the entire system off without unplugging it. But there's that. They also said games every 24 hours, the Xbox One will check to see if you are... if you're online. They won't do these checks for DVDs, Blu-rays, live TV, which makes sense. So they're not doing it. The bigger...
So if I have a game, right, and I'm not I played one game a week ago, and I don't go to play it until, you know, this week, right? Is it going to check between those two times or only when I go to load a game?
I think it's in standby mode. As long as it's plugged
in.
As long as it's plugged in, it's in a standby mode, and it's checking every 24 hours whether you're actually playing it or not.
Oh, okay.
I will say
that's my understanding.
I don't think they specified, but that's actually a good point. I didn't really think about that.
Because like, they did say that it's always on. It's always in a standby mode.
Right, but so a lot of people are going to be – I mean, they're marketing it as an entertainment system, so they're obviously targeting a market of people who are going to be using it more for – other things outside of gaming. So if you're not playing games, I mean, I personally really don't care. Even if it was always on, I mean, it would, or always online, it wouldn't really make a difference to me. But I guess if you were somewhere with a slower or, you know, bad internet connection, it could be a bigger deal.
Well, what I don't get is why would they, if you're not playing a game at that time, why would they care? Like, I could totally see, you know, they want to make checks to see and make sure that you have legal copies of the game. But if you're not using your console, what would they be checking for? What even use would they have for it?
That's a good point, and I don't know. But it might just be a messaging problem, because the way they stated it, it really sounds like it's going to check every 24 hours whether you're using it or not.
You're right. I mean, and they specified it. And on realistically, I mean, people aren't going to be playing a game for 24 hours. So them specifying that it checks every 24 hours has to mean it's...
Right.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would say, when you play a game, it will check.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, it sounds like they're saying what they mean, because there's a simpler way to say what we would hope it would be, which is check when you sign on.
Right. Maybe the cloud is just them leveraging everybody's internet connections and everybody's Xbox Ones. So you keep it on, and they just use, you're the server.
That's all, yeah, all yeah, the 30,000, all the servers are going to get.
It's a giant torrent, yeah.
Actually, I just think this is funny. I was trying to find good cloud storage utilities and that had a lot of free space. And one that I found, I forgot what it was called, whatever, but what they did was you potentially had unlimited free space. What you had to do is, though, you had to allocate twice as much space on your local hard drive. So what essentially happened is they used your local hard drive space. So if you say, I'll give you 40 gigs, they give you 20 gigs of storage space. So you are the cloud, which I was like, no.
You just said you have unlimited space and you have to give them twice as much. So you have to give them
if you have double
twice enough. Infinity.
Yeah, exactly.
If I can give you twice infinity, I can have one infinity.
I thought it was a ridiculous proposition personally. But anyway, that's another thing. I think another thing that they nailed down was they said with used games, there is no fee at all.
Really?
However, companies can decide if
they want to. That's what, right.
So it's kind of one of those, which makes sense because Microsoft got all the flack, but realistically, besides Microsoft owning a game studio, I mean, like, it doesn't really affect them about used games. We'll see what they decide to do.
That's interesting.
And I think third thing, so we'll see if they do the used game. And I think they're giving them a lot of different options. I assume, like, you know, they could also do multiplayer only component. They specified a few more things in terms of having your friends borrow games. Like, for example, your friend can borrow a game if they borrow the disc, but they have to have been your Xbox Live friend for at least 30 days. So it's literally like they have to be your friend. You can't just give it to somebody
else. Josiah, add me now.
I need to borrow all your games. And there's some more specifics with transferring of licenses. I actually, to be completely honest, I don't totally remember it, but we'll see. And I think the bigger thing is I want to see what Sony decides, because I'm sure they're going to do something. But they get to be a lot more reactionary in that they can just decide, hey, you know, we'll just decide whatever sounds the best. So we'll see what they decide to do. Hopefully they'll say at E3. I don't know if they will. I figure they're going to show the PlayStation 4 at that point, right? I mean.
I mean they have to, right?
They'll have a blurry filter over it.
Yeah.
they already have that that promo video that they put out. Like, all this, like, random angle shots, like zoomed in angles.
That's it. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of angles.
Yeah.
It's in four dimensions. It's weird.
I thought it was funny because a few people tried to put together a render based on the idea. I felt like all the renders were just a lot of vents, which, I thought was really stupid.
It's just a fan. The entire box is just a fan.
But then I thought about it, I'm like, the Xbox One is kind of a giant vent. It really is a vent everywhere.
It is, and it's all the same hardware, really, that's going into it. So
I think it'll be cool. We'll get to see. So Yeah, getting into that.
No pun intended.
I get you. E3 is going to come up right after WWDC. So that's
Same time, actually. I think the Microsoft announcement is the same time as the Apple keynote. So.
Really? Oh, I know what I'm watching.
Wow, that's, man, tech journals are.
Yeah, you got to split your brain in two.
Yeah.
Crazy, but going into E3, we were thinking of doing a top five and on games that we.
all right. We're gonna do. We're keeping this theme of top fives. Apparently, we love lists on this show, so we're gonna try to do two shows next week. Hopefully, one Monday night, provided I could. Bribe these guys into coming out and doing a show. And Monday night will focus on all of the big conferences or press conferences. Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, and Sony are all doing shows on Monday. And also, I guess, some WWDC news as well. And then on Thursday, we'll do a normal show, and we'll talk about more of all the games we see. So next week, our top five is going to be top five games we're most excited about. But since most games
most excited about that were announced.
That were announced, yeah. That right. That were shown off or demoed or shown, you know, a fleeting screenshot at E3.
A logo.
But yeah. But for now, since we only know a handful of games that are actually confirmed, we're gonna do a top five of games that we would like to see and we have a feeling that might come out, and also combined with that, hopeful games that if they were announced, we would just lose our shit because they were completely, not expected. So who wants to go first? I don't know if that description of the list made any sense.
Whatever.
Games that we would love to see that may probably or may not happen. There you go. Whoa. That's what the list is. I gotta use my hands more because Sean
and Neil deGrasse Tyson does it.
Yeah.
I think you should be a great candidate to go first.
All right. So I actually have six because I couldn't.
Rob can't count.
I don't follow. I'm a rebel. I can't follow rules. So six is a new Fable game and not a Kinect game. What? What's wrong with Fable?
Go. Do your list.
No. What?
I wanted to like Fable so much. And the first one was such a disappointment to me because I didn't like the story and the RPG stuff was just way too simplistic.
Well,
it's
you can...
classic Molyneux, over promising. Hey, you asked me what I didn't like about it.
I didn't say anything. Sean said that. You can don't have it on your list. First of all, it's not in my top five. It's secondly my game, so I don't know why we're spending so much time.
Well, anyway. So I know with that, I personally like Fable 1, but you're totally right. It was you didn't play Fable 1, I thought. You played 2 and 3.
I didn't. No, 2 and 3. Two and 3.
But,
sorry. My bad.
It was definitely an overpromise. It's like, you get to really feel his age, and then you see
yeah.
He like has four wrinkles, and you're like, but I guess what I love is they've always done such a good job at voice acting and having funny characters and like genuinely not silly. So or not half-hearted writing, but I liked Fable 1, and they're putting out the 10th anniversary edition, and they're totally overhauling it.
Yeah, I'll probably play that.
So,
I'll play that.
And hey, I don't know if you clicked on the cube, but they finally opened the cube, and now that kid gets to be part of Peter's...
What was that? What did he win?
Well, basically, he's... Okay, well...
You should probably explain the cube.
Peter Molyneux made a new company. He left Lionhead, and it called 22 Cans. And they have some things in the pipeline, but they released an app where there's this giant cube. And basically, you tap on it, and it'll take away a small piece of the cube. And basically, the whole idea is he hyped it up that whoever... gets to the inside of the cube, basically after you take away all the layers, they'll have a life-changing experience, something that will change your life.
Oh, I didn't know that was what it was. Wait, yeah. So all of those games, all the time I spent playing what was it, Mario Party on 64, where you're just sitting there and jamming buttons. I could have actually used those skills for something.
Changed your life. God.
I missed out.
Well, so a kid in Britain won, and it's funny because he actually signed up for the, or he downloaded the app an hour before he won it.
It's like a golden ticket.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, so when he won, I guess he sent a YouTube video or he sent a video or something, and basically he has the choice of either telling everybody what the secret is, or he cannot. He decided he was going to share it with everybody, but I don't know. I think it's funny they gave him his choice. But basically, from what I remember, he gets to be, I don't know, Josiah, do you know the name of their next game? They've already talked about
no.
it. A goddess or goddess, I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
But he essentially, the kid gets to be a god, and he gets to have big decisions on that. So that's like a cool part. I think the life-changing experience is supposed to be that he's apparently getting a cut of all the earnings of the game. They haven't really specified how
much he's going to make, ridiculous.
But they're cutting him in on part of it. So that's supposed to be the life-changing thing, which I didn't know where they were going to go with the life-changing thing. I mean, it is life-changing in a way, because I guess you could make a lot of money, but it's not life-changing in that it's just money. I don't know. So, we'll see what ends up coming out and what he decides. He said he's going to be a benevolent god. It'd be kind of funny if he said, I'm going to be Satan and just kill everybody nonstop, because that would totally ruin the whole experiment. But
it's now Dark Souls 2.
But yeah.
All right. So, all right. Let me get to my top five.
Yeah. I don't know. Why I told you.
Sorry. The top five.
Number five is a new Portal game. I absolutely love Portal.
Cool.
They're both shorter games. I would love to see another addition to that series. Probably the funniest game I've ever played.
Ever
played, Sean. It's the most Portal the most times laughing well playing a game.
It is whatever. So well written.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So no rebuttals. Yeah. At number five. Okay. Number four, they've already talked about the Elder Scrolls MMO, but I do want to see a sixth game in the series after Skyrim, and especially on next gen system to see if they can make Skyrim. Although I don't know if I want to see it without the bugs, because that's kind of what makes Skyrim Skyrim. anyway, new Elder Scrolls game. Number three, they've hinted at it. But I would love to see another Mass Effect game. So I don't want to get it. I don't want to spoil it, because in case some people haven't played it yet for whatever reason.
It's been out 2 years. Spoiler.
It's only been 1 year. All right, fine. Anyway, yeah. So given, I'll just say IT. So you should know what that is. Have you indoctrination theory? So. Basically, if you subscribe, I think they should cut their losses. Just say that indoctrination theory is what they believe. I know it's not true, but I'm a believer, and I regret my decisions at the end of the game, and I just need something to save me. But I would love to see a fourth game in that series, even though they've already said they're not going to do it. I would settle. Well,
just not
a Shepard. A Shepard game. I want to see a Shepard game.
Yeah.
But I guess I will take a regular Mass Effect game, because or Josiah and I were talking about them possibly doing a prequel type game, because I think Halo is something like that, right?
Yeah, Halo Reach was a kind of a prequel.
Number two and number one, I had a tough time picking which is which. Number two is a new Time Splitters game.
Uh-huh.
I would absolutely love to see a new Time Splitters, and there's like a huge movement of people, diehard fans, to get another one.
That sounds something ripe for Kickstarter.
It's perfect for Kickstarter.
I don't know where the IP is, like where it is, because I don't know who owns it, and I don't know where it is, but that's probably the most critical piece, because
then somebody could be the monkey and everybody can get pissed at them, and you know, anyway, all right, number one, Sean knew this way before he would know what this is, but I would love to see Shenmue 3. I want to finish the trilogy. And I think in addition to that, they should remake the first two and do, you know, not current. What do they do, like HD remakes and things of the first two games?
Do you know who killed my father?
All right, fine. It's not the best storyline ever.
No. I've never
played it. I love that game.
I've heard a lot of awesome things. And not just from you. Like, I've heard a lot of great things. I never owned a Dreamcast, go figure. and I never got it on, or actually, I guess I do have it on Xbox.
Yeah, you do have it. Or no, you gave it to me.
I have Shenmue 2.
You have the second one, and you gave it to me.
Yeah, and I don't want to play the second one with it. I'm almost always.
But it does come with a video that shows all of the events from the first one.
Yeah, but it's still like it's one of those things that I feel like.
I don't know. But again, I think that's even I don't know. I mean that. I don't know if that would be as good on a Kickstarter as Time Splitters would be, but I think
because they can't raise $100 million, which is how much they would cost.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I don't know. I need closure. I need to finish that trilogy. And anyway, that's my top.
It's another cool series that has a lot of a big fan base. I mean, it's really to me, it's all about
a lot of people think Shenmue is like up there as far as greatest games of all time. It's not just me. But I mean, it was clearly the best Dreamcast game, and I in my opinion, one of the better games.
I don't know. Choo Choo Rocket was pretty much up there. I don't know.
Was that Space Station 5 or whatever?
Yeah, it
was?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
awesome.
Oh my God! All right, honorable mention. I want to see Seaman 2 because that was one of the best Dreamcast games.
With the Kinect.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I can like pick up the fish and toss them around and stuff. And they can. Curse at me.
That's what Connectimals was. It was all the people from Seaman, and they decided, you know.
Wait, did they talk to you though?
No. They just purred. And like,
that's what I'm saying. Dude, well, back then, given the time that it came out though, the fact that there was a game for the Dreamcast that came with a mic that you could talk and they would respond, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That
nobody bought it though.
People could kill.
I bought it. That's all that matters. It was the best.
I know a lot of people who talked about the game.
And Paul Steller, if you watch this show, I've still not forgiven you because I made it to the end, and all you had to do is let them not eat for one day, and he fed them the spider and killed all of my seamen. All right, I'm done.
So that's a solid list.
Who's next?
Sean, you want it, or you want it? Okay, I'll go next. I have a suspicion Sean's still
Sean doesn't
making
have
his
five,
list.
That's why.
He's still making his list. So number five, I kind of cheat as well. But number five on my list is I have fond memories of playing Fight Night, which was a EA boxing game. There's nobody really exciting. Not that I keep up with boxing a ton, but I don't feel like there's that kind of iconic boxer that has a lot of mainstream appeal right now. So I wouldn't.
Well, Manny and Floyd, I feel like, that's the only one I can think of.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's the only boxers you know.
But you're right, Manny's killing it right now. But it's more fun to have some heavyweights in there, you know, too. Because I have fond memories of Fight Night 1. Fight Night 2 was pretty good as well, and. I didn't play the latest version, so I'd like to see a good relaunch of that series, or even if it was just all fictitious characters and just made a really good boxing sim.
What was the game like? Rumble Boxing, Ready to Rumble Boxing.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
I don't want anything too cartoony. I'd like it in an actual real sim. You know, they had cool mini games to get your training and your skills up like that and stuff like that and get ready for a fight. So I think that'd be pretty cool.
Dude, why not Mike Tyson's punch out like another? You know what's funny though, as a side note. So sports games, aside from Call of Duty, sports games are the rare breed of games that always have a re-up every year. But it's funny that there's a couple of genres that have really been skipped over lately. Boxing, I feel like, has been skipped over a couple times. Mm-hmm. And NBA Live was skipped over for a while, too.
Up until now, yeah.
Madden, they kept doing. FIFA, they always did. I guess the street games,
baseball,
they haven't done anything.
Hockey. Hockey and baseball have every year.
Even though NHL wasn't in season. They still made it. it would be cool. I'm surprised because I actually still remember in the PS3, Fight Night was one of their big games. Like, I still remember them showing videos of how high quality their cheek was when
they were back.
Like, I remember that. So that would be
that was one of the first games I got on my Xbox 360 after I bought the HDTV. So I'd like to see it. It was pretty fun. And number four on my list, same as Rob, not the same number, but same item, Elder Scrolls. I'd like to see. was it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'd like to see a sequel that's not an MMO, an actual sequel. You know, I don't think the story is as good as a lot of RPGs that I've played in the past, or even adventure games and stuff like that, but they do an excellent job of just building a world that you can just run around in.
In addition, just to tack on to that, so the Omni Treadmill, which is going hand-in-hand with the Oculus Rift, is kind of the next generation of hardware for virtual reality.
Yeah.
And they do have a demo where they're using both of those things to walk around in Skyrim. And for me, I think it would take forever to play Skyrim if you actually physically had to walk from one place to another. those types of games, I am looking so much forward to play on these devices once they come out.
Yeah.
I still say, man, once you hit that clipping, it's going to be crazy on the Oculus Rift when you're like in the horse and you like bounce in between a mountain.
Well, it's like what happens when the big giant comes and hits you with a club and you go flying into the air.
I think it'd be hilarious if they keep that in. Because I think a lot of people talk about this. It's kind part of feels the game. Like they knew.
It's part of the game.
Like, this is hilarious. Let's keep it. Because anyway, keep going. Sorry.
Okay, so that's number four. Number three and two, well, I'll just go ahead and say it. So number three, I really loved playing Wing Commander and other space flight sims back in the day on my PC. Yeah. And, I was all about, like, my dream in life when I got a job or started making money was to buy an awesome...
buy an X-Wing?
buy one of those... flight sticks, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't see those ever making a comeback. But I think the types of games that used to be played with those flight sticks, so a space sim, doesn't have to be Wing Commander, but a space sim would be awesome. And then my number two would be a mech sim, so Mech Wars or something like that. And just to cheat and get another option in there, combine two and three, and I'm talking Robotech. Let's make a Robotech game.
That's just Gundam. What was it, Gundam Wing?
Yeah, Gundam Wing or Voltron. Even an awesome Voltron game would.
Sean, what was that gamepad that was like $3,000? That was just this entire mech.
Yeah, it was mech.
Virtual On.
What?
Virtual On? Is that what you're talking
about?
No,
there was a
in the arcades?
There was a mech game. It came out for the original Xbox, and it had mech in the name, and it wasn't in the Mech Warrior series. It was a different one.
Okay.
But it came with it was a $200 peripheral, and it was literally, it had dual joysticks, it had a whole panel, and it had pedals.
That's
it didn't
nuts.
Sell well, and it's funny, I think they even released
it didn't sell well?
Yeah, it's crazy. But I'll give them credit for going all out on it, but it was insane. Like, it was literally you have a mech. I heard, though, in addition, the bigger problem was it wasn't a particularly good game. So that kind of, like...
Yeah, that hurts.
have either of you played Saints Row?
No, not yet.
So one thing I like, there's one airplane that you get. It's a futuristic airplane, and it turns into a jet, and then you hit another button, and it turns into more of, like, a hover thing. And it's certainly not a mech, but it's really cool because what you do is you fly around to get to where you want to go, and then you switch into the other one, and then you blow the shit out of everything.
Yeah.
And Saints Row is all about – it's ridiculous, but it's tons of fun. And I should show you sometime. It's kind of cool how they do that.
What I should say with my space and my mech games, I'd want more realistic physics and more of a sim, you know, so it's – It's not.
There was a mech game. There was a mech game that just came out.
Well,
there are a couple on PC, but I haven't yet heard of any on the consoles. Warrior or Harkin, I think Harkin or
Harkin.
Harkin on the PC. So something like that. I think it'd be really cool.
Well, a couple things with that. I don't know if you knew, but Mech Warrior. I mean, they have a current game, but it's online only. Like it's a free to play game. So it's definitely not the same.
That's what it was.
But, I actually saw a couple of YouTube videos, and it's crazy. Like they do go back to all the Mech Warrior. Like all the overheating, the crazy different kinds of combinations of lasers.
I love that stuff, man.
And but like I saw it was a clan, and if you ever played MechWarrior, like tactical, being tactical is very important because of the overheating thing. Like if you have a giant
walk into the lake and shoot your large lasers. Or, you know, you climb up the mountain and shoot your Gauss cannon. It's freaking nuts.
But, like, the clan was, I mean, they were so good. They had exactly what they needed because it was teams of eight. And they had a couple scouts, the little guys. I forgot all their names. But and then they had a couple medium guys and they had a couple big guys. And they really knew how to work together to get to, and they took out the other team. Like, it wasn't even close.
That's awesome.
Like, that seems really fun. When it's free to play, I always feel like it has that added feeling of cheapness, but I really like having online, like, it kind of, the team-based thing is really cool. But I mean, I still remember playing MechWarrior 2 and playing the winter expansion, something Bear, what was it called,
probably Clan Bear,
like they were all clans. I still remember that's fun stuff, and it'd be cool if they had like a legit expansion or addition.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it if it also had a storyline too, because that world is actually pretty rich in cool stories. But so that's kind of my combination numbers 3 and 2, and number one, I think I've mentioned it before. I have a soft spot for BioWare games, and I think I'm going to be disappointed now that the two original creators are gone, but. And again, I'm kind of cheating here, but I'd like to see a sequel to Dragon Age, and I'd like to see a sequel to Mass Effect, but well done. Well, my fingers crossed. But really, what I'd actually like to see, I thought it was a really cool intellectual property, was Jade Empire.
Huh.
Mm. And that, you know, because you don't have a lot of kung fu games.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it was a role-playing game, an action role-player. And I think it's just a really cool idea. And I think they executed it pretty well, too, to be, instead of having all these different spells, you have these different fighting styles. And you could, you know, you class out based on your fighting style. So, you know, do you want the quick fighter? Do you want the slow, strong punches? Do you want the kind of magical distance range punches and kicks and stuff like that? I thought it was a cool idea. I'd like to see them go back to that world and have that kind of an action RPG, because I'm not super big on shooters, and I love the theme and the world of Mass Effect, but just the shooting gameplay, not really my thing. So I'd love to see kind of that kind of kung fu action come back.
Nice.
So that's my number one.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I own Jade Empire, but I never got around to playing it, and I've heard a lot of good things about it. And actually, my roommate played it. Using my Xbox, but I never actually played it, but I've heard good stuff about it.
It's good. The story's pretty good, except so the story's good unless you're a BioWare fan, and then it seems a little derivative because it's very similar to another really great game, which is Star Wars KOTOR, which actually just got released on the iPad.
Yeah.
But
Knights of the Old Republic.
It has a similar twist at the end, but yeah, it's still a pretty good story.
Yeah, definitely. Knights of the Old Republic is definitely a great game. I guess to segue into mine, I'm not going to put it in any specific order. It's funny you mention that because I like BioWare games, but I would like to see another Knights of the Old Republic. With this whole Disney owning LucasArts and totally spinning off things, I don't know how that's going to change whether or not I can use it. But I mean, I've always loved the Star Wars world, and it's such a weird IP because it gets used so much, and a good portion of it is garbage. And every so often, there's good stuff because it's such cool. Like, who doesn't like Jedi and stuff like that? So
why don't you play the MMO with me then?
Because I think one thing that really Knights of the Old Republic did really well was they had a cool story, and it was funny because they didn't play off of the Star Wars trilogy. Like, even if you played Jedi Knight and Dark Forces, they still leveraged Luke Skywalker and all the familiar characters. Knights of the Old Republic was clearly in the world, but they decided to do something totally different. Yeah. I mean, you know, Jar Jar Binks
but it's the old Republic. All you're doing is dropping the knights.
But yeah, so I'd like to see something in that. I like BioWare. Possibly, and I'll say with any developer, I would probably, I'd like to see new IP more than anything. But
yeah.
It's hard to say what new IP would be. So there's that. One obvious one I always keep harping on is Dark Souls. I won't go into why I love that. But I mean, that's a guaranteed, we know that's going to come out. So that's going to happen. There's a different game director. So it's going to be a little bit different, but I think they're going to keep the basic idea of challenge and things like that. And kind of connected to that, they're going to make another Dragon's Dogma. They hinted at that in the PS4 unveiling. And I'm pretty sure that there is an adventure game they hinted at. And I think everybody's pretty sure it's Dragon's Dogma 2. But I think it'll be interesting to see that. Related to that, I want to see another Final Fantasy. But I want to see a good one. Admittedly, I haven't played Final Fantasy 13 yet, but I've heard, first of all, I've heard it's linear, which is the opposite of every Final Fantasy.
Didn't they announce that?
Well, they're doing 13-2, and they're doing...
Weren't they doing an MMO?
They do. Final Fantasy 11 is an MMO.
11 is an MMO.
Oh, MMO.
But it was, apparently it was really bad, and was it Final Fantasy? There was one MMO that was... known for being awful, and I think they redid it, but I'm not, I think it's a clever idea. Everybody likes the world. I don't care that much about MMOs, so, but I want to see, I mean, I know everybody wants a good game, but I mean, I don't know, it's been a while since I've really, since everything's come together. I feel like I've liked parts of some of the recent ones, but not, it hasn't all come together. Another game, I just totally forgot. Oh, this is admittedly really generic, but I want to see a good first-person shooter. I really like first-person shooters, but I mean, BioShock Infinite did a great job with story and a lot of voice acting, a lot of that stuff. It didn't totally make a new splash in terms of game mechanics for a first-person shooter. I haven't really seen anything that compelling.
Sean, is that what you mean when you say a good one? You want to see some innovation as far as game mechanics go?
Yeah, something cool. I don't know. I can't think of the last one, the last good one off the top of my head, but one big shift, I think, was the first Halo, where they finally figured out, and actually some people attribute this more to GoldenEye, but I attribute to Halo, where they figured out how to use a console. It's not a keyboard and mouse. It's slower, and it works differently. That was a big shift, and it worked really well. And I feel like I could go back and still play Halo, and it'd still be fun, Halo 1. I'm not smart enough to figure out what the next thing would be. I mean, sure, there's immersion related things with Oculus, but in terms of just straight up game mechanics, I don't know what the next cool thing would be, but I want to see something. Another one, it's funny that you said this, Josiah, because I want to see Descent Free Space 3, which was, I think a lot of people would say it's Free Space 1 and 2, probably more 2, are up there with some of the best space flight sims. And that whole genre has gone nowhere. They've just lost popularity.
Right.
So, but it's another one. So it was owned by Interplay and Volition. And once THQ, who owns Volition, I think, went out of business. The whole thing I'm trying to get at, I don't know where the IP is, but it's another one. The people who made it have always said they really wanted to return to it, but there was just never any backing from publishers because they thought there wouldn't be money behind it. So who knows? Maybe they'll kickstart it. I think it'd be really fun. I'm very much the same way. I like, it sounds so nerdy, well, because it is, but I like more sim stuff. I like the fact that you have to manage your subsystems. I like you have to have special targeting systems. Because they've made, I don't know if you played Colony Wars, but Colony Wars was you literally had one gun and you had a shield and a hull. And admittedly, it was on a PlayStation controller, so you can't do as much. But I really loved the technical aspect. And I don't know if you remember, but they are putting out a game, not Star Command, Star... what's it called?
Yeah, it's actually by the creator of Wing Commander. Of Wing Commander. Exactly. Yeah, that was on a Kickstarter. I'm backing that. It's called Star Citizen.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't realize till later. Granted, I didn't back them, so I didn't lose any money. But it's an MMO, so
that changes. Yes and no. I mean, the description is that you should be able to play by yourself, but it has a sustained massive world. So like the economy in your private instance, the economy is always affected by the online game. And it sounded like I'm not 100% sure on the details, but if you turn this option on, you can have random instances, like when you're flying missions, you can have random instances of real players coming into your space, into your flight. So they might choose to be pirates, they might choose to be friendlies, they might, you know. So you can turn on kind of pop-in multiplayer, or you can just play it as an individual. Well, that's my understanding.
My key question is there going to be a story? Like, is there a beginning and end to the game to a degree? Or is it, Skyrim?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be. I think it's definitely going to have some sandbox elements, kind of like Free Space and Wing Commander Privateer, where you could choose to be a pirate, a mercenary, or a merchant. So you can do all of that, or you can fly for the military. But I don't know if there's going to be a strong storyline.
And I mean, the real question is, are they going to bring back the classic Wing Commander FMVs? Because I really love to see some lion people and great actors doing some FMVs. I've been missing it for years. But honestly, I didn't really play the Wing Commander series. I don't know why, but I did play X-Wing, the whole TIE Fighter series, which was great, and then X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, stuff like that. But I really want to see Descent Free Space, because anyone who played it, it kind of has a cliffhanger ending, sort of. So it'd be cool to continue that, but I really want to see that. Granted, I don't think it's going to happen. I just no interest. Although I will say adventure games went out of style completely. And then like Uncharted came out and granted, it's not a strict adventure game by any means. But I feel like there's some pushback from that. And adventure games dominated a portion of the 90s. Like, I don't know if you remember King's Quest and Discworld. And,
I think that stuff's coming back on tablets.
Yeah. But a lot of indies, you're right. Yeah.
I don't know what the industry calls it, but I wouldn't call something like Uncharted an adventure game. There's a lot of run and gun in that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I'm stretching it a bit. I guess I don't know why that came to my head initially. Yeah, maybe that'll be my last one, King's Quest 14. Like, did they run out of Roman numerals yet? Because I still am there. And they're like, obvious. But I don't know if that was 5, but that was pretty much my list. And just a general call to new IP. I can't wait to see new IP.
Instead of
Halo 18 and Gears of War 47 and, just new IP. Let's see what they can do.
All right. Well, that will do it for this episode. I think we're over time, right?
Yeah.
So join us. Hopefully on Monday we'll be doing a special double episode. So we'll be back Monday and hopefully next Thursday. We'll bring you all things from the E3 and WWDC and break it down for you. And I think that's it, right? This is part of a larger project. I don't know why I keep mentioning this. called the Commentist Block. We're still working on the website, despite what you may think at this point. But you can still find me on Twitter at Robbie Stells. Josiah is Josie4628.
Yep.
Got it. And Sean is Too Cool for Twitter, which I'm making him a Twitter. That is Sean's Too Cool. So you can tweet at him even though he won't actually be there.
Rob will respond for me.
And I will try to respond in Sean's voice, and that's the best you're going to get. All right, so thank you very much for watching, and we will see you on Monday.
Bye, Squares.